Hello, and welcome to Rethinking Legal Ops, a podcast by Speed Legal. I'm Ishwari Saxena, and here we talk to legal experts, industry leaders, and innovators about the many ways that legal tech is transforming the way we practice law.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Rethinking Legal Ops, business version. Today we have Jeff, Mr. Marketology. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Hans? Thanks for having me on.
Nice to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, so we're going to talk something about contracts and law today, huh?
Yeah, so the purpose of the Rethinking Legal Ops podcast, business version, is to talk to experts both from legal and non-legal sector, and innovators, change makers, and understand how people, businesses, and contracts, the future of law, will intersect in the next months and years. So here today, again, we have Jeff, and thank you for being here. I'm Hans Pohl, your host, CEO and co-founder at Speed Legal. And Jeff, could you tell us a bit more about how did you come up with this name?
Mr. Oh, wow. Yeah, Mr. Marketology. I came up with that name because I love marketing. I mean, every day I think about it, everything I see is about marketing. And marketing actually is an art and a science. So, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what would be a good name for myself? And then it was Marketology because basically it all fits together. Instead of thinking of it as one particular thing that you do in marketing, there's a lot of things that work together. And it, you know, with that, you know, the Marketology just fits. Of course, I have some friends out there. They have the themes, like they'll have the scrubs on, or they'll have the doctor outfits on, and they'll say that they're, you know, doctor of such and such. But, you know, just Mr. Marketology. I try to put all of your marketing together and make it make sense.
That's great. And so today we're going to speak about marketing, sales, and contracts. So to connect on your first part, what's your interaction with contracts? How often do you see contracts and your clients, the people you are advising, see contracts?
Yeah, I mean, you see contracts all the time. I mean, whenever you're doing any type of business together, it's good to have the paperwork in order. So the contracts are there. Any type of interaction that my clients do, you know, I recommend that they have an agreement in order. It just basically clears up everything. There's nothing to assume, because in business, it really gets sticky when later on you start assuming this was what was expected, and it's not, in writing. Because when you go to court, what's in writing stands. What has been said is pretty much subjective, and you have to prove it. So, you know, dealing with contracts is a pretty frequent thing whenever dealing with any type of business.
Nice. That's very true. Contracts are everywhere. Sometimes we sign them even without knowing that, being that yeah. A click wrap on the website, or a tick box within a form.
Yes, so, all the time. And we just basically don't even read it, click the button, hit submit, you know, or allow, and we don't know what it said and what we have agreed to.
Right. Yeah, that's scary. And so, to go in a bit more into details, what are the types of contract that you and your clients have seen the most recently?
So for me, most of mine are consulting agreements, service agreements. Sometimes I'll, you know, have contracts in regards to different type of information products. That's for myself. Now, with my clients, they may have purchase orders, they may have service agreements, sales agreements, partnerships. I also deal with a lot of partnership agreements, you know, and I've dealt with information marketers. You'll have intellectual property agreements. You'll have things such as affiliate agreements, things of that nature. So there's a lot of different contracts. Most of them are, in my space, more of a business-to-business type of environment, and you're dealing with two companies coming together to work together on a certain type of project. So those are the main contracts that I deal with.
Nice. And how easy is to read contracts and to go through them? Is it something you do often, takes time, or something pretty easy for you to do?
I've gotten better at it. I've gotten a lot better at it. Some of it helps that my uncle and my ex-wife are in the legal field, so they can help me with a lot of the legal speaks. But at first, it was real difficult. I mean, it's a lot of reading, a lot of words. There's clauses that you think you know what they're saying, but you don't. You know, a simple word like here and, here over, there within means a lot. But for you, you're just looking at it as one word. And so, you know, without knowing what to look for, you don't know. It's sort of like reading, let's put it like this. It's sort of like reading code. I used to be a web developer. If you don't know what you're looking at, it all looks foreign to you. So it all makes sense. But you don't know what you're looking at. And one syntax, one character off can mess everything up. Same thing with reading a contract. One word can mess up an entire deal. And if you don't know what those words mean, you don't know the phrases, you don't know the context, you could be signing your life away.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I mean, I love the comparison, the analogy with the, you know, between code and legal contracts. So that's great. So if you had a magic wand, mm-hmm. what would you change about how contracts is made today?
Just make it make sense. I think, you know, talk in practical terms, layman's terms, like they say, speak to me like I'm an elementary school student. You know, if you could just read it and it made sense, then you can make an informed decision. But I do think that contracts are written in a way to confuse you. So it's written in a way that you don't know. And most of us, especially us as adults, we're prideful. We don't want to say we don't know what that means, you know? And so that's the challenge. First of all, a lot of contracts have a lot of verbiage in it that is filler. So you have a contract and you literally can say in two paragraphs what everything, you know, in the agreement means, but you have a 20-page contract to say those two paragraphs. And so, you know, when you look at a 20-page contract, you're like, I don't have the time to read all this. I don't feel like reading all this. And I probably don't remember what was on page 4, you know, after I get to page 18. So, you know, it just to make it just simple, make it make sense, or at least know what to look for the red flags. That would make reading contracts so much easier.
Sounds good. Jeff, what do you think? Shall we quickly share some visuals about what we believe the future of contract could be?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Cool. So let me quickly share my screen and show you something that Jeff and I have actually a bit prepared before this conversation we are having. And we call this Understanding Contracts Without Expressing Legal Fees, right? And yeah. Why did we decide to call it this way, Jeff?
Well, a lot of us, especially in small businesses, you don't have the resources to have a legal team. You know, there's bigger corporations that I've dealt with. They, of course, have a legal team. They have corporate lawyers. But when you're dealing with smaller companies, they don't understand the contract. But they don't want to take the time or spend the money to hire an attorney to actually look it over for them. Even though that's a great suggestion, recommendation, they look at the cost it will cost to have that attorney look it over. And they don't want to spend the hundreds or thousands of dollars it may cost to have an attorney look it over. They don't want to take the time out to have an attorney look it over. So they just pretty much try to do it themselves. So, you know, with this, understanding the contract without those expensive legal fees is something that I think is a benefit to many of the smaller companies that just don't have attorneys on retainer.
That makes a lot of sense. And a quick disclaimer, of course, because Speed Legal is also involved in this, of course. And of course, Speed Legal is not providing any legal advice. And we are here to provide data on top of our contracts, which means expanding contracts to everyone and make them accessible and easy to understand to everyone. So again, if you have the opportunity, of course, and we really encourage you to talk to a lawyer, of course, before making any decision. As Jeff said, sometimes we don't have the possibility and the fortune to have access to legal knowledge. So that's what we are trying to do with Speed Legal, translating contract into plain in everyday language, plain English, and make it accessible to everyone without providing legal advice, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for saying that. So still recommend hire an attorney. Still recommend that. Still recommend going out. But one of the benefits of this would be you know what good looks like. So, you know, another challenge that I found, sometimes when you talk to an attorney, they may tell you what they understand in the contract, but they don't tell you in a language that you understand. So they're still speaking legal speak, and they're speaking from years of experience. So for them, it's just common sense, common knowledge. Oh, this is what we da, 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 means. To you, once again, we're prideful as adults. We don't want to seem as if we don't understand what they're saying. So we're looking at it, well, does the contract look good or bad? And they say, well, looks good to me. Okay. They didn't really go into detail. Or if they do go into some detail, you don't understand what they're saying. So let me give you this analogy. It may help. Just because you go online and look on YouTube at a surgeon doing surgery does not make you qualified to go out there and do surgery. So you might go to the hospital and you say, well, if the guy comes and says, I've got a sore throat, but he says, well, we got to cut open your stomach. Well, I saw the YouTube video and I know that's not what we need to do. Now, I don't know exactly what we need to do, but I do know enough to know that's not what we need to do. So with this, you know, at least when you talk to the attorney, here's the red flags I've already identified. These are the things that I need your help with making sure that it makes sense and is in my favor. So you come with a little bit of knowledge that you can talk the language with him or her, and you can say, these are the red flags that we need to address. And that saves you a lot of time and money because you're paying most of the time by the hour. So now you've identified a lot of the things to save you a lot of time and money. So when you sit down with your attorney, you can then, you know, minimize a lot of the research time. Let's put it like that.
Thank you. Yeah. That's very true. Like saving time and a bit of money when you talk to experts and being more prepared before talking to an expert, and also avoid just signing contract without reading them, making a more informed decision before signing contract. So yeah, very good points. I'll let you continue on these points. Maybe so why is this important, Jeff?
Well, you know, like I said, most business owners, they don't understand the legal jargon. They don't understand, you know, what all this legalese means. But like I said, they're prideful. They don't want to say they don't know. So, you know, that's one challenge that a lot of business owners and a lot of adults, period, go through. You don't know that. And some of it, you don't know what you don't know. You just don't know that this means something completely different than the words that are on the page. So that's one thing most business owners don't understand. And you don't find out until it's too late, until something bad happens. And then it's like, well, it's stated right here, this. Well, I read that, but I didn't know that's what that meant. So that's one thing. And then the second, there's a lot of legal codes out there. It's just not common knowledge. Those are the official codes that you can see. You can Google them. Basically, they're official codes of whatever your jurisdiction is. So Georgia for myself, or California, or wherever you are. Even if you look at those, you'll see the statutes. You'll see everything spelled out. But if you don't understand legal speak, you really don't know what you're reading. You're like, okay, I understand a little bit, but I didn't go to school for law, so I don't really understand what this code means. But it's the codes that basically the courts are going to go by if you ever have to go to court. So that's another thing. And then there's some standard clauses, especially if you're doing business on a repeat, basis, that you need to make sure are in all of your agreements. So like, let's say a partnership agreement, there's certain terms that you have hard in the sand, and these need to be in there. Certain things like payments, certain things like, termination clauses. There's certain clauses that you need to make sure that you have, and it's in your favor. Not just that they're in the contract, but they're actually written in your favor, and those clauses need to be in all of your contracts, and you know that they're in your contract. So there's no surprises after you start doing business with whoever you're doing business with.
Makes total sense. And to add on top of that, why is this important these days? Well, on the tech side, there are a lot of good news coming up, right? We have heard of GPT-3, generative AI, large language models, and the future of law, of course. NLP, which is natural language processing, is helping understanding the meaning of contracts, basically, and making it easier for everyone to understand. So legal tech is what fintech was 5 years ago. Now, from the convenience of your home, you can open a bank account, transfer money, do almost everything. Legal tech is not there yet. We are getting there, of course, thanks to e-signature providers. We can do that. Online notary services as well. The next step is also really having access to legal knowledge in a much easier way. And we are getting there. It's a bit slower compared to fintech, but it's a matter of time. And there's a lot of, we discuss about legal being expensive and so forth, but it's changing. I think this perspective this way of seeing the legal is changing. It's moving from cost-based to value-based center. And yeah. I've talked to several leaders, business and law firms, and we are seeing that change. I mean, their clients are pressuring them to drive, value, being more strategic advisors rather than someone who, checks the marks on a contract. So,
yeah, and I see that change too. I mean, how have you looked at the landscape with a lot of these so-called templatized agreements that are online that you can just type in and they give you these, pretty much contract templates, and you put in a couple of lines, in the form, it fills out the rest of the contract for you, what have you seen with that? I mean, because even with that, it's still a template, but it's not a customized contract for your particular business. It's just pretty much just a template.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that's a starting point. And I believe there is much work to be done in that space. At the same time, what I really believe is a game changer, and that's what Speed Legal is working on, is translating contracts and, again, legalese into everyday's language. So even when you draft a new contract and you use a template, you need to understand what you're doing, right? So that's the key innovation in this sector, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
And yeah, so we are seeing that, there is some automation coming up in first line contract review. It's becoming a fact that those kind of jobs, contract reviewer and paralegal, more manual tasks are being automated. Also, according to Gartner, which is a a big center of studies and statistics, is saying that this segment, the legal tech, is growing at a crazy, I mean, high, good numbers, 35.9% CAGR. It will go 5x by 2027 to $87 billion. Currently it's 14. So it's a fact that these things are happening. So here today, with Jeff, we're going to show you a couple of things that we can do with Speed Legal, for example, to drive this change that we have discussed. First of all, we will show you a partnership agreement and how we assess the contract risks through what we call red flags and the red flag table. Mm-hmm. Then what's a standard and how you'll be able to understand the difference between the standard and the contract that you upload. And last but not least, the managing and accessing contracts at scales in a few seconds. Are you ready, Jeff?
To move yes, on? Definitely. Yeah, let's dig in.
Let's do it. So I'm going to quickly share another tab so you'll be able to see how the app works in action. So here we have logged in into Speed Legal, speedlegal.io. We've just uploaded a contract, and this is what we got from the app. So on the left side, we have the original contract, which is a 24-page partnership agreement. And the first thing we're going to notice is this risk meter, which tells us the red flags as well as the green flags. We see mm-hmm. that this contract has a quite balanced view, and we see 10 red flags and 11 green flags. But first of all, how did we assess what's a standard? So the standard is created by Speed Legal through the thousands of contracts that has reviewed on a specific jurisdiction, and we'll tell you what a standard is. Of course, these standards are also reviewed by top-notch law firms, our expert committee, such as ELA Piper and other big law firms, Merriam Brown. And this helps us to vet that the standard is actually usable as a standard. Of course, this standard can be personalized, so any user can change the standard based on their needs. Let's say I want the license to last for 10 years or 5 years. Well, I can always change the type of standard based on my needs.
Okay, so that fixes the making sure you have the clauses that you need in place.
Yes. Okay. Point number two, knowing your standard and being able to personalize your standard based on your requirements in case you already have an idea of what's the standard for you. If you don't have an idea of what's the standard for you, Speed Legal can do that for you based on your jurisdiction and the type of contract and company you are. Yeah, so moving next, we're going to open a couple of red flags. I see what's the standard value, for example, here, where it says that, you know, the term, the duration of the contract should last until the partnership is dissolved by agreement among the parties. But that's the standard, right? But what we have found, I mean, Speed Legal has found, is the partnership shall continue in full effect until this specific date. So this is a red flag because, you know, we want the user to be able to use the standard standard value that they have chosen.
So that leaves it to where it's not open-ended. So correct. Basically, if one party doesn't agree to dissolve the partnership, they can hold it up indefinitely. But by this, you're putting in a date and then you renew the partnership and you can, you know, reevaluate whether you want to be partners still or not, or the terms under your partnership.
Correct. So actually, in this case, it's the standard that the client has chosen is to be, you know, open-ended. And we have found that there is a limited time, but it can be the opposite. I mean, if the client and the user wants to have a specific date, that can be added, and then we will be flagged if it's open-ended. That's correct. Yeah, so fiscal year, for example, we have specific jargon that can be found, like fiscal year of the partnership, and this is the calendar year, which is different. So fiscal year is different from the calendar year. And this is the governing law is state of Georgia, state of California. Again, this can be personalized, but that's what this client wanted to flag, which is California instead of other okay. jurisdictions.
Okay.
And so forth. There are actually parts that are missing. We didn't, Speed Legal didn't find any value, such as, you know, new partners. Usually we see this provision that says partners cannot admit a new partner without unanimous consent. So this part is missing in the contract. There is, you know, resolution by partners. There is partnership property and other parts that are missing. So we recommend checking those parts as well.
Okay.
What's good about this contract are the green flags, for example. So there are, you know, some parts that are pretty good. And by clicking on any part of the summary, I can also read the entire paragraph and deep dive in case I want to.
Okay. Yeah, I see it highlights over on the left side. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the key. And that's very useful for someone who really wants to read and understand the contract, like here.
Okay.
The translation into Plain English actually is jumping in here. It's called contract nutrition label. So we believe that reading contracts should be as easy as reading the back of the food label, which is knowing the carbs, the proteins, and the fat, for example, and mm-hmm. the sugars. So here is who is bound. This is a mutual, so both of the parties. What do you need to do? So what are your obligations? Make capital contributions based upon the number of units you acquire. Take all needed actions to make sure the partnership exists and continues. Mm-hmm. And prepare all the files for federal, local, and tax files. The right, so what can I do with this contract? I can engage in any permitted business. My partners can make loans to the partnership, but not on terms that are less favorable than other creditors. Mm-hmm. The general partner has the exclusive right to manage and control the partnership. I need to maintain confidentiality. And partnership has right to be notified and to purchase the interest of any person. So these are some of the things that Speed Legal has highlighted as rights.
Okay.
Next is, what can you get sued for? Well, doing anything that makes it impossible to conduct a partnership. General partners cannot transfer any interest without the consent of the other partners, limited partners. And all disputes will be resolved through arbitration. So if you go against this, you may have troubles as well. So those are the wow. risks.
Well, that's big right there. I mean, because that's at a bird's eye view of, you know, what your responsibilities are, what your signing parties' responsibilities are, what you can get in trouble for, what your, you know, what your rights are, so what you should expect to get. So that helps break everything down real quick.
Correct. And if you want to dive deep into the contract, this is actually a plain English translation of the contract. There is also the, you know, the legal version of the summary, which is, you know, provision okay. by provision, clause by clause. There is a short summary using the exact context of the contract, and you can click on any part and go to that part. So let's say I want to go to allocations, profit and losses. I can read this paragraph instead of reading the entire
contract. Okay. Wow, cool.
Yeah.
So it makes a layman's term out of those big words, huh?
It does, yeah. And there are also key facts such as the contract value, expiration days, payment terms, renewals, people involved, governing laws, parties, and key financial values.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is how Speed Legal can help, you know, understanding contracts in seconds and accessing contract risks. You can also manage, and if you have many contracts at scale in the platform, automatically organize into a contract manager, smart folders, reminders into your calendars for renewals, payments, and notice periods.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all automated and synced with your calendar as well.
Oh, so that's cool. So you actually can, if you have several contracts, you're doing business on a consistent basis with a lot of different parties, you can have a centralized location to pull up all your contracts. And with that calendar, let's say you can know when a contract's about to be up, and you need to revisit that contract. Oh, that's nice.
Totally. If you need to, renegotiate a contract in terms of upselling or even just getting out of a contract, you need to have enough time to do that. So you can set reminders, let's say 30 days in advance, before that specific trigger.
Okay. That's nice. Especially for like businesses that have pretty much a probation period. So, a lot of consulting contracts, you'll say, well, we'll do this for this amount of time and then we'll revisit. We prefer to have a year, let's say, SEO, we'll just use SEO. We prefer a year because in a year we can do our best work, but let's revisit every 6 months to see if we want to continue on for the rest of the year. And so that'll help to keep you on schedule because time flies.
Yeah, totally. And, we have, the more contracts we have, the more it's easy to forget about them and specific dates. So, once you analyze the contract and the risks, it's good to have a good practice of storing them in a centralized place, secure and easily kept up to date by AI. That's a very good good practice.
Yeah.
So you can free up some space and focus on doing your business, what you're good at, and instead of using some of your bandwidth also to deal with those with reminders and these kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is also a link if you want to connect with me and Jeff after this conversation. Just take a picture or basically you can write it down. We also have a website, of course, speedlegal.io. But yeah, so going back to you and I, Jeff. So what do you think is next for small business operators, SMBs, and the legal world?
I think, that'll be a game changer because now you have a lot of clarity on what you're signing. You can also, at scale, take care of all the paperwork. That's one of the things that is a challenge as well, that you're sitting back and saying, wow, I got to go through this contract. It's going to take me hours to do this. And when am I going to have time to do it? Or you'll have a team member and that's their job to do it. But when are they going to have time to do it and taken away from other things that they're doing? So, I think that this is going to change things. The more educated everyone is with the law, the better opportunities and deals we're going to make. A lot of times we're operating out of fear. We're scared that, if I sign this, I'm committing to something that's going to hinder my business, but I didn't understand what it said. This will help a lot of business owners to make better decisions, start, modifying it so it's in the best of both parties' interests. It's a win-win. And that's really, at the end of the day, all we're looking for.
Correct. Those are very, very wise words. Let people do what they're best at and let the tech take care of things that are, time-consuming and may not need your full bandwidth and your full mental capacity. Of course, contracts are relevant and they should be taken seriously. And that's why, when you go through contract, we want to make it easier for everyone to understand them and actually devote the right amount of time. Because if you know that you need to devote like 5-6 hours to go through a contract and really understand it, and you have, a couple of contracts on your desk and you need to close another client or you want to focus on delivering your product, you may say, okay, I'll take the risk because I really want to run this business. Otherwise, I may, lose sales. So we want that not to happen. And that's what technology can help.
Yes, definitely. And even with your legal team, now you can say, okay, instead of paying for 5-6 hours of them researching and coming back and saying, these are some things you need to modify. Now you pretty much have that. And it's a matter of, here's the contract. Here's what we found we need to modify. What, like you said, now they're providing you strategy versus just going over administrative stuff. So it's like, look, it says this, how should we approach it? And they'll say, well, I would recommend you doing this. And the beautiful thing about that is now, you know, you put that in this contract, but you can now make it one of your standards. And so moving forward, that's one less thing you have to worry about, because now it's going to flag anytime it's not one of your standards. And that's so, true. Yeah, the more you use it, the more you use it, the more it saves you time and money.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. And technology learns as it grows. So again, by reading more data and seeing more of our contracts, it will become smarter and adapt to that standard. So I think that's a great point that you brought up.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed this conversation, Jeff, and I think we should do that more often. Thank you guys for joining us today, and all the listeners for being here today.
The practice of law is changing, and we're here for it. Thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode of Rethinking Legal Ops. Follow us for more such insightful conversations about the transformative impact of legal tech. Also, follow Speed Legal and let us know in your comments and messages about how you leverage legal tech solutions to make your work more efficient. See you next time.